The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So we thought that the lockdown might be having an impact on infection rates, but a new study out this morning from Imperial College London, the REACT survey, actually says otherwise. James, what are the numbers that this study has been giving us?
So the REACT survey implies that lockdown isn't driving down cases in the way that you would, that it hasn't come down from December. I think part of the problem, though, might be a question of dates, that they were comparing December 6th and January 6th. They're missing that December spike that appears to have been caused by the new, more transmissible Kentish variant of the virus.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because as soon as that study broke, you saw this morning lots of reports about how, you know, looking at it now, you know, coronavirus infections are not falling. You also had the Prime Minister reference it in the sense it might have been brought up as saying, you know, look, it's another reminder that we have a really virulent strain. And I think the suggestion being lockdowns are going to be harder against this strain than they were, you know, pre-Christmas when it was a slightly different scenario that we're in. And I think that it is adding to the sense amongst ministers that we could be in this lockdown for quite a long time. Now, clearly the counter is, and there's plenty on Spectator for people to read on this. Also, the data hub, I don't know if we plugged that enough times, so we can do a full
spectator.co.uk/data, guys.
To suggest that actually the dates they're comparing on this don't present such an accurate picture. And if you were to look at, you know, the early December onto where we are now, or, you know, the peak in December, you know, around Christmas time, you would actually see a fall. Now, but I think that if you step away from that, just politically, I think it's interesting how you've seen the government almost lean into it. They're saying, well, look, it's another reminder that things are really difficult. Mm. And therefore, I think if we want to talk a bit beyond the study, it is just, there is, I think the mood music at the moment is yes, you know, people are very happy with the vaccine rollout. But when you're talking about when things might be eased, the Prime Minister was very, I think, not despondent, but very down about or playing down the idea that you might actually get much of a change in terms of lockdown being lifted by mid-February. Now, I think most people have been very sceptical anything would happen by mid-February, even though the Prime Minister first suggested that was a review point. We then had the caveat that even if it was the review point, the people vaccinated mid-February, still only about 3 weeks for things to come to effect. And I think since then, well, you know, the conversation has moved to, will the lockdown be lifted by May? Which obviously feels very different than talking about some things returning in February. The fact that I think optimistically people think we'll be in the tier system hopefully by March, but obviously some areas might be in the tier four, which to be honest does feel quite a bit like a lockdown. Mm. So it is that long road. And I think that even when the Prime Minister was asked, well, you know, by the spring, you know, will lockdown be over, they don't want to commit to anything. And yes, that is a bit over-promising, under-delivering, let's try and flip it. But I think it's also just that they feel in a point where things are just very unpredictable, in the sense there is something good going on, which is tangible, but there's also a lot of unknowns, and there's, because it is this new strain, I don't think they want to make predictions.
And James, speaking of what's going to come down the line, Number 10 today refused to rule out the possibility that the English lockdown will continue until the summer. So what are we to read from that? Are we looking at a lockdown that's going to be extended beyond Easter?
I think there is a feeling in Whitehall that it'd be better to have this lockdown go on longer and be absolutely certain that it is the last lockdown than to cut it short and then have to go back into lockdown again. So that's one worry. I think another worry is a concern about these so-called mutant strains of the virus that might evade the vaccine. But I think politically, Jonathan Van Tam has said, you know, once you've done the phase one group, which is about 28 million people, that accounts for 99% of deaths and hospitalizations. I think once you've done that, politically, it will be very hard not to return to something quite close to normal. I think people will say, come on, leave it up to people's personal responsibility, allow people to make decisions. And that was very much the line that Matt Hancock was taking earlier this month when we did an interview with him for The Spectator. So I think we wait to see on this. I also think the other big question is, you know, at what speed can they roll out the vaccine? I mean, there was almost, I think, you know, last night there was flooding at the vaccine factory in Wrexham, but thankfully that doesn't seem to have affected production of the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine there. But I think the question becomes now, you know, today there was over 300,000 doses. Can you get up to a numbers? Can you start going faster than 2 million doses a week? And I mean, I think if you can do that, then I think things begin to look a bit different. I would also just add one other thing to keep an eye on, which is this debate about first dose and second dose. Some of the data out of Israel so far does suggest that the first dose is perhaps not quite as, of the Pfizer vaccine, is not perhaps not quite as effective as first thought. So we will have to wait and see, I think, more evidence on the importance of the first dose as opposed to the second dose.
And Katie, what we do have coming down the line, the sort of lockdown that we'll have, is going to be probably stricter, because Priti Patel today has set out the fines, the punishments that are lined up for not obeying the lockdown.
Yes, so again, I think we're back to enforcement, and what we're looking at is house party fines. So I think what's interesting is, obviously, I think about a week ago, people were talking about tighter restrictions, tightening, you know, rumours that you could have a situation where you couldn't meet someone else outdoors. There was room quickly shut down about support bubbles. We don't seem to be in that territory. Instead, again, it's about enforcement. So it clearly was not in the rules any time in the past, you know, 2 weeks beyond, to have a house party.
It's, I can't believe people are still having house parties.
Yeah, I mean, get in touch, guys, if you want to tell us about, we try not to out you, depending how, you know. But yeah, so we are seeing new fines for that. So fines of £800 for anyone attending a house party of more than 15 people. That's going to be introduced from next week. Interesting. I would think you'd maybe just introduce it immediately. I have to say, I need to find out the exact fine. It's definitely against the rules right now to do it. But you think, you know, I don't quite understand with this one why people need time to prepare for the higher fee if the action they shouldn't be doing anyway. And anyway, this is going to double for each repeat offence, and a maximum is going to be £6,400. And when Priti Patel was announcing this, she said that this is to do with a small minority who refused to do the right thing. Now, I think it's obviously an interesting measure. I think the fact they need to up the fines, obviously, it's a bit of, look, we're taking this issue seriously, we're talking tough, but it does suggest that they think they do have repeat offenders here. Mm. But again, we're not talking about change, which I think some scientists have pushed for, or, you know, talked about against stricter all round. We're still very much, I think, in the area where Boris Johnson wants to resist that as much as possible. Already thinks this lockdown is quite strict and difficult for people, particularly if they expect to do it for months on end. So I think that wider rule tightening for people who have been following the rules is something that they do want to avoid for now. But obviously, you can never fully predict it.
And James, to wrap up this cheerful round of Coffee House Shots, today has been announced that Glastonbury is also going to be cancelled this summer. So not even Glasgow to look forward to.
I mean, the issue for Glastonbury is about insurance, and basically the music industry has been clear that it couldn't get insurance on the kind of open market, so it needed some state-backed scheme. And one didn't come forward. I think there is a question here, which is when it, and I shall tread carefully here, but when it comes to big events in the summer, I think it is hard to know quite what restrictions might remain in place. You know, where is the Glastonbury? I must admit, Cindy, you'll be surprised now, I've never actually been. But
it's,
I think,
hard
Glastonbury
to get tickets,
kind of,
James. Don't worry.
Don't get the impression.
Maybe you'll invite me next year.
I know it's a slight. I know it's slightly going off piece, James. But just to clarify, because I think a lot of listeners might be wondering, have you ever wanted to go to Glastonbury?
I think it sounds a bit corporate for me.
Back to COVID.
podcast.spectator.co.uk.
And trashing my chances of a wedding. Go on.
I mean, the question is, when we talk about normality in summer, I mean, it's one of the big questions is, what level of normality is this? Is this back to something like we had last summer, where there's still quite a few restrictions in place? Or is it more, as we think, normal, but with morbid with kind of stricter restrictions on going abroad on holiday, as Kate Bingham has suggested, the head of the vaccine task force, because of the kind of fears about mutant strains and where other countries are in their vaccination programs. I think one thing is clearly true, is that there is kind of massive pent-up demand for kind of social activities. It was very telling that when Lord's Test Match tickets went on sale this week, the website, which normally works perfectly, crashed under the sheer demand from people wanting to go. But people feel that they haven't been to these things at all for so long that people are really keen to go to events. And I think this is one of the things, which is, this is why, and one can understand why it's not possible, this is why you can see the benefits of some greater certainty about at what point restrictions would be lifted.
But I do think it's interesting that when Matt Hancock did that interview with James and Fraser, he talked about this great British summer.
Mm.
But again, at no point is there any clarification on, does he think a great summer is being able to hang out in a group of six, not just outdoors, but indoors too, back in those halcyon days? Does it mean maybe you want to sit in a park where you're technically supposed to be in a six, but if another six join you in the park, no one's actually going to really arrest you because it was more relaxed? So does it mean those type of things? Or is he talking it much more on trend to normal? And I think it's on purpose that obviously not getting into that.
Mm.
But I think we are heading to a point where clearly polling suggests people are very cautious about things. But again, I think ultimately it comes down to a question Matt Hancock wouldn't answer this week, because he didn't have the answer yet, which is, he was asked, once the vulnerable have been vaccinated, and this was a member of the public question in a press conference this week, is it a problem if you have, you know, a fast spread of the virus amongst young people?
Mm.
Now, the health secretary said that it was a really important question, but he didn't yet know because it depended on various things, such as how effective the vaccine is on the vulnerable, does the vaccine stop transmission, and obviously looking at long COVID. Now, I think until you can answer that question, we cannot say with certainty whether once you get to the over 50s, you know, and the most vulnerable, if they are going to relax things substantially. Now, the impression you get from ministers, I think, is that, or at least some ministers, is that they do think that's a point you relax substantially. And I think that clearly, if you look at the COVID recovery group of Tory backbenchers, I mean, they was probably going even faster than that. But I think until the government are in a position where they feel they can talk about that, rather than just say we might have a debate in the future, we really are just, you know, looking into some fog and making guesses.
Katie and James, thanks very much. And do join us again for next podcast.